That's fantastic. It's great to be at Celebration, to be a part of all the things that are happening at all the campuses. And I know that God is going to show up in a great way and meet all the needs of everyone that's participating this wonderful afternoon. And so, great day to be alive. I love your pastors, love your pastors, love your pastors. And just thank God for Stovall and Carrie and their family and all that they mean to us. And they mean so much to us as a church. Stovall's been there for us as a church these last 17 years in some good times and some bad times, and has walked through us in a lot of different seasons. So I thank God for him and just a great team around here and the direction of this house. And when you come to Celebration, you see what God is doing right here and at all the campuses and literally around the globe. It's just one of those wow God moments. You just know that God is up to something great, and I believe your best days are ahead of you. And so we're looking forward to all the things that are going to happen. We've had a great man conference 2011. Just enjoyed that with Keith Craft, Bishop Vaughn. But I'll tell you this, Pastor Stovall really set the tone. I believe God gave him the message and just really set the tone for the conference and really used him to speak into the men, spoke into my life. And I just believe that the residual effects of that word is just going to be amazing. So I bring you greetings from South Louisiana, your crazy Cajun cousins. Healing Place loves this church. Anytime people go on vacation this way, we send them to Celebration at one of your campuses, and we just love it. Our church loves your pastor, so every time we can get them to South Louisiana, he's preaching. He'll be preaching soon at Healing Place Church, and Carrie's been a part of our women's conference that has helped us so much in their leadership gift. Pastor Stovall is one of our overseers, and just our church loves him, and I love serving crazy Cajun people because they're crazy. You know, there's like 5 reality shows right now just based out of Louisiana. That'll tell you something right there, just kind of about the people that we serve. And but at the end of the day, that's your pastor's people. You know what I'm talking about. That's his people. That's his roots. And I know I've showed you this before, but I just want you to kind of see, kind of return back to the roots of your pastor. I brought some pictures from Louisiana. You've seen these before, but I think they bear repetition because you'll know your pastor's family. Let's put a couple of these up real quick, just from South Louisiana. Well, that's my family right there. So that's our family. That's my wife and then our 2 daughters and my son. So they bring you greetings. I'm married up. I've got daughters. It's crazy. Let me tell you a little bit about Cajun people. Cajun wedding cakes right there. That's Stovall's people right there. That's kind of where he came from, his organic self. A couple more we'll run through these. There you go, Cajun swimming pool. I think that's one of Stovall's uncles right there trying out the baptismal. Let's see what else we got there. Look at that. I love this. Only in Louisiana do you get scriptures and buy tires all at the same place. Only in Louisiana. I think that's one of Stovall's ex. Right there, I think that could be Stovall before he came to Florida right there, just before the surgery. I'm just joking. Look, Cajun High Rise, that's one of our campuses, I think. Get a lot of water there in Louisiana. I think we got a few more that are there. Okay, that's the whole idea of hot sauce, things going on. Cajun environments, we make it hot. Let's check out some more just so you'll see them. Okay, that's it. Hey, so just a few family pictures from Louisiana and all the things that are happening there. When we clap our hands for Pastor Stovall's family. I like messing with them. So it's a good day to be alive. These are great days to be living. I'm looking forward to just hearing the great things that are going to happen from the groundbreaking several weeks that lead up in just a few weeks, August the 28th. Boy, that's a great time. That's a huge win for your church when you are able to do something like that. It's a huge win for the kingdom. It is a big win for you and your family. And so it's going to be a great time, and all the friends that you have to be able to tell people about that. This is just a great season for you as a church. When you think about how God looks down on the earth and he finds a place on the planet and he says, this is going to be your home. And he could have a subdivision there or a mall there or a school or a factory, but he saved that Bay Meadows land for you and many of the campuses that you're doing ministry at, but he saved that for you so that you can grow families and that you can grow children and you can grow people that have a love for God and that want to make a difference in the poor and the hurting. And so we're thrilled about the groundbreaking. We're sending some of our team over to just support you because God loves people, and anytime there's more space to reach people, God smiles on that. So that's going to be a great day. You don't want to miss the groundbreaking on August the 28th right there at Bay Meadows. We're fired up about it. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Luke, the book of Luke. It's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's the third book of the New Testament. You can find it right there. We're going to look at Luke chapter 8, And we've got some resources back there. Wrote a little book called Servolution. Just talks about reaching people. Sometimes I think people get so involved with their problems that their problems drown them. But I wrote this to help people realize that sometimes the way out of your problems is when you embrace somebody else's problem and you help somebody out of their problem. So that's back there. And then we put a little series together called Swamp People. Come on, somebody. That's what I'm talking about. And so that's available out there about how to get out of the swamps in your life, how to move forward. So they're available back there. But I want to share for a few minutes on the idea of let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and I thank you for this great church. I thank you for our pastors. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing at all the campuses. Lord, we're just excited. Lord, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat just thinking about, Lord, the expansion and the opportunities to move forward. Lord, we've seen what that's done in our world and in our church, God, in reaching people and caring for the lost and caring for the widow and making a difference in the poor and the hurting and the lonely. And so, Lord, I just thank you for Celebration Church. I thank you for the verge that they're on as it relates to harvest and ministering to the needs of people in this region and throughout all the world. So it's a great day to be alive, Lord. We're so glad we're in your house. In Jesus' name, and everybody said a good amen. Hey, why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, I'm glad you made it to church. Now look at the other person that was your second choice and tell them, you need a little church. There's always a second choice. Now you know who you are. One of my favorite windows in Scripture is found in Luke chapter 8. I love this window of Scripture that you can look into, and it's almost as if you can put yourself in the moment, and you're looking over the shoulder of Jesus in this incredible encounter that he has, this amazing, intimate encounter that he has with his disciples that speaks to us, and I believe it gives us truth for our life. And I'll start reading. We'll kind of have a conversation to talk about this for a little bit. Luke chapter 8, verse 22, talking for a few minutes about let's go. Let's go. Verse 22 says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, and he did this many times, let's go. Let's go. I thought, just that right there, I've just thought so much about what does it mean when Jesus says to a person, let's go? I think Jesus enjoys saying to us, let's go. You know, I think the story of my life right now is saying, let's go, because I have three children that sometimes you got to take places. And I've got one that has about 30 things that my baby always loves to bring, about 30 things everywhere we go. And so every time we head to the car, there's something else she's got to get, a necklace, an American Doll, bifocals. I don't know. She's just got so many things she brings with her. And then I've got a son that is he's never seen a clock that gives him any urgency. He's just, what's up? Never in a hurry. Then my oldest daughter, you know, she don't like to ride with us much anymore. She's driving now, which is another whole world. And so, you know, and so I'm constantly saying, let's go. Okay, girl. Okay, guys, we got to go. Let's go. Let's go. It's just herding everybody up. Let's go. Let's go. You just herd everybody. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Sometimes I feel like my life is spent in a let's go mode. Let's go. Can I tell you something about God that I've learned? That God is a moving God. God is a God that's always moving. You know, he loves taking you from where you are to where he wants you to be. See, we are naturally settlers. We like to settle in. We like to find a place. We like to get comfortable. We have patterns, and we map out certain things, and we settle into things. And God is a God that likes to stir up and unsettle us so often. We want to stay. God wants us to go. He wants to take you, and he wants to take our church, and wants to take our faith to the other side of things. He loves taking us from one point to another point. And so the Bible says, let's go over to the other side of the lake. And so they got into the boat and they set out. Jesus wanted to go to another place, and they set out. You know, God has always wanted to take you and I in our life and in our journey with our family and with our resources and with our dream and with some of the hopes in our heart. He loves taking us from a place called faith to faith. Faith to faith. He likes taking us from point A to point B. If we're settled in this area, he loves bringing us to another point. Why? Because that becomes a journey of faith. Does it take faith to stay where you're at? It takes faith to step out of the comfort zone. God is always right outside of your comfort zone. So he says, let's go over to the other side of the lake. And he loads up his disciples. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Then it says this in verse 23, as they sailed, he fell asleep. I think it's interesting. On the way across, he fell asleep. So often when we begin to move in our life or we begin to step out towards something different, something new, maybe a new experience or a new adventure in God, sometimes in that moment we feel like that God falls asleep. The older I get, the easier it is to fall asleep. I can fall asleep on you in a heartbeat now. Sometimes my wife wants to lay in bed at night and talk. That's like a challenge. Let's just talk. And then sometimes she'll say, let's cut the lights out and talk. Oh, baby, we can't do that. We can't do that. I can't sit in the dark and talk. I mean, it's just impossible. I'll fall asleep sitting up now. I'll fall asleep sitting in my car. I'll fall asleep. I was counseling a while back, and some of our guys went out to eat and came back and sitting with a lady, an old Cajun lady. She came and talked to me about some things. She's talking to me about 2 in the afternoon. I'm eating a good little munch. It's a little warm in my office. I'm sitting in a little chair, and as she's talking to me, she just doesn't stop. She's asking me questions, and she's answering them, if you know what I'm talking about. What you think about this, Pastor? Let me tell you what I think about it. Pastor, what you think about it? Let me tell you what I think of it. And it starts monotoning in my, almost like a noise, like an ocean. Like I'm in a rainforest. I mean, I've got a sleep machine in my office counseling with me, and I'm trying to look. And do you know how you start fighting it, and you know, I'm going down, I'm going down, I'm going down. This is for reals. Hey, next thing I know, I hear this, I'm like in this deep tunnel, this cave. Pastor! Pastor! Like I was far away. I hear this echo. Pastor! Pastor! I'm back in my office counseling. I had went away for about 10 seconds to a really nice place, and I came back. She's like, Pastor, you fell asleep on me, didn't you? You fell asleep on me. No, I was praying. I just went to the Lord. I just was meditating in a deep vision. Here's the coolest thing about Cajun. She didn't even care. She just went on, bye, lie. Never even missed didn't quit the church, wasn't offended, nothing like that. So now when I do counseling in the afternoon, I'm like, can I just stand up while you talk? And can I just do jumping jacks while you share with me? And can I just run in place? Because I'm getting older. I'll fall asleep on you. It's amazing Jesus falls asleep. Let's see what happens next. So he slept, a storm came down, a squall came down into the lake, and the boat was being swamped. They were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him up saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. We're going to drown. See, one of the facts of going to the other side of anything, when you move in a journey, when you move out to another place of faith, reading your Bible, getting a small group, fasting, something like that, always remember a storm will happen. A storm is going to happen. You know, I've discovered in the kingdom of God, there's just not a lot of smooth sailing. You're going to encounter a wave, a wind, a rain. There's going to be some things that take place. Storms are going to happen. Why? Because, see, storms scream, quit, fear, unbelief, stop. God's wanting to move us to a next place. There's a storm that comes in. Storms happen. Life happens. And they want to stop us to where we're going, to where God wants to take us. Keep reading in verse 24. It says, he got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm calmed down, subsided, and all was calm. And then Jesus looks over at his disciples and says, where is your faith? He asked the disciples. Where's your faith? I love it. I love this. I love this because remember, so often the enemy of the dream, the enemy of the next destination, the enemy of the new chapter, the fresh start that God has for you, the enemy wants to cut short the journey on what's next. He wants to cut that short. And it's just not about what he's wanting to cut short. It's really not what's next. It's really more, and you see in the scripture, about who's next. We drop on down, and it says as they sailed on, as they got through the storm, and they went through the middle, and they got to the other side. It said they came into this new region, which was across the lake where Jesus wanted to bring them from Galilee. Verse 27 is an amazing verse. It says, when Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town that had lived there a long time. And this man had lived in this situation, had not worn clothes, and had not lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. Jesus gets to the other side of the lake, and as they get out of this boat, there's a man that meets him that has been naked and homeless, been living in a dark place. I've learned a great lesson from this little portion of scripture about life. I just want to be real accurate, clear, and simple. God wants you and I to be a people that are willing to go. What did he say to his disciples? Go into all the world. Well, the last thing he said to a disciple, a learner, is go. Be on the move. Be ready. I mean, let's go. There's an old song that Stephen Curtis Chapman used to sing. Saddle up your horses. Yeah, saddle up your horses. And the idea is that as a disciple, as someone that's trying to move forward in God, God is a God that wants to take us into new places, into new ideas, into new creative and new faith, from faith to faith. But in our journey, there's going to be storms that take place, and there's going to be moments that we feel like God is quiet and where is God? But you know what? We've got to make sure that we don't go crazy and start doubting in the middle that we're going to drown. Because Jesus wakes up and says, the middle is not the other side. Don't think because you're in the middle of something that you're going to drown in the middle. If you stay committed to me and if you continue to put your faith in me, I'm going to take you to the other side, because it's not what's on the other side. I want you to hear this. It's who's on the other side of your goings. See, they thought they were going to die in the middle, but Jesus assured them that the middle is not the end. Maybe you're in the middle of something today. Maybe you're in the middle of a pain. Maybe you're in the middle of something with your marriage. Maybe you're in the middle of something with your kids. Maybe you're in the middle of something with your workplace. Maybe you're watching right now. You're just in the middle of a problem, an argument, a battle, a pain, a turmoil, a depression, a darkness. I want to encourage you that the middle is not the end when you continue to follow God. See, it's easy to doubt. And I want you to hear this. It's easy to doubt in the dark what God gives you in the light. So often on one side, we hear it, we believe it, but then as we move forward, we step out in faith, we begin to doubt it. The devil knew that if he stopped the disciples, if he stopped them, that the man on the other side would stay in bondage, because it's never what, it's always about who. You know what takes place? Jesus has this dialogue, and there's some hogs, and there's some city people that come out, some things go crazy. The devil get cast out, end up in some pigs. The pigs go down to the water, they drown, and everybody's like, wow! It just gets wild what goes on in the scene. And at the end of the day, they say, Jesus, you got to leave us. I mean, all the bacon's in the water, and we hadn't been able to fry it, and all this is going on. And then there's this last moment that I think is the whole reason why this went on. It's two little verses, verse 38 and 39. It says, the man from whom the demons had gone out of begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away. It's one of the few places that someone begged to go with Jesus, and Jesus sent him away. It says, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So that man went away and told all over. Everybody say all over. Touch your neighbor and say all over. Told all over how much Jesus had done for him. This madman, all of a sudden, after an encounter with Christ, after an encounter of someone coming to the other side to reach him, he goes from a madman to one of the first missionaries of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He goes madman to missionary like that. I mean, it's an amazing story when you think about how there is stories that are waiting on the other side of your storms. That's why you don't give up in the storm. That's why you don't quit. That's why you don't turn. You stay committed through a storm. Why? Because there are stories. There are stories in your stories. There are others in your other side. When you go to the other side of something, when you walk through a sickness, when you walk through a pain, when you walk through a trial, when you stay with it and you don't quit and you don't bail, but you stay with it, there are others in your other side of what you walk through as an individual, as a parent, as a single, as a college student, as a church. There are people waiting on the shoreline of your faithfulness. There are people waiting on the shoreline of your giving as you give your tithe and you sow your offering. There are people waiting on the shoreline of that trust and that faith. There are people waiting on the other side of your serve, the other side of your sacrifice, the other side of your love, the other side of your reach, the other side of your obedience. There are people waiting on the other side. You know, I started thinking about your groundbreaking and the amazing piece of property that God has given Celebration and the people of this house at Bay Meadows. As I was praying about it this morning, you know what I thought about? Bay Meadows is just another big shoreline full of people waiting, waiting, waiting. That's why we keep giving. That's why we keep going. That's why we keep trusting, because of those on the other side. You know, we went through a lot moving into our new facility. We moved into it 14 months ago. We were in a building that God had given us, and we were doing multiple campuses just like here, learning. But one of our larger sites, we had been there for 15 years, and we did everything you could to that site, possibly, for people to actually come to church. I remember coming up one night, we had no space, we were doing small groups. I went to the men's restroom, and there were 5 metal chairs in the men's restroom. They were having a small group right by the urinals. Good to see you guys. Hey, what's up? I remember later, I said, God, why were you in here? He said, that was the only space we could find. Only space we could find to have a small group meeting. Everything was packed. For 15 years, we were failed. I think we've got a picture of our first building that we had. That's our first building. Whopping 21,000 square feet for 50 years. Pastor Stovall's preached in it probably a dozen times. And as God gave us more land, and we were able to break ground from that, we stayed faithful after 10 years of being there in that. And then God gave us an opportunity to break ground. And we broke ground. And I think we got a couple pictures of our groundbreaking. There's an aerial shot, and that was all the people out that day, and we were all gathered out there. You can see some of the area that we were clearing, and that was us on a big old front end, just rah, that was Delenn and I had a hard hat on. I bought her a pink hard hat, if you know what I'm talking about. So we had a great time. It was a great day for us. But can I tell you, we broke ground, and 1 month later, Katrina hit. You talk about redefine Louisiana, redefined our shoreline. During that time, we were delayed, and the cost went up from about a $22 million project of building this facility, 90,000 square feet. We're so excited about it. And all of a sudden, our city grew. We grew several hundred thousand people just in about a month. So we increased the size of our facility from 90,000. There was a change. There was an adjustment from one place to another to about 130,000 square feet, which increased the project about $14 million more dollars. I mean, that's a whole lot of change, if you know what I'm talking about. Boy, what a storm, what a challenge, what an adjustment from one place to another as we went forward. We got in our building, and God has blessed us. After 5 years, it was the longest building project other than the Ark, if you know what I'm talking about. We were the longest, second longest. God, I think there's a picture of our building that we moved in. That's our new facility. And, somebody, Neil Jackson, Stovall's brother-in-law, is here. He sent me a picture from last Sunday. I want you to see this picture. This is last Sunday around the altar, if we pull that up. Do we have the one around the altar? I'm not sure if we have that next picture around the altar. Maybe we didn't get there. There it is right there. Just see that. You see, that is people just packed in this new facility, in our new facility, going from one place to another place. And I showed you those people pictures because I wanted to encourage you. There was one moment when we were going through this where we thought we were going to drown in the middle. When the cost went up and the time was delayed and we decided to build the building larger, I remember being in a meeting with some bankers and some underwriters and some architects and engineers. It was a full room, and I was sitting at the end of the table. We were talking, and as we began to talk about the challenge, the storm, the delay, the middle of the project, I can remember one of the bankers and another underwriter said, probably the best thing to do right now because of the finances and the increase, we need to shut this down for about 9 months to a year, board it up, get it to a point where we can weather it, stop the project for could be a year, and then let's regroup and let's try to figure out if this project is manageable. I remember sitting at the end of the table. They began to dialogue about that. And literally, that was the conversation. We're going to stop the project for about a year. Put a fence around it, board it up, and then we'll see what we're going to do because this has gotten out of hand. This is bigger. This is larger. This is more. We didn't know we were going to this point. I remember sitting at the end of the table, and I just started staring at the carpet because I didn't want to see grown men see me cry, if you know what I'm talking about. Just, yeah, okay. I remember looking at the carpet, and literally I got nauseated because I started thinking about the sacrifice of the people. I started thinking about all the giving and the heart of people. And I remember almost fainted. Heard one of them say, we need to go out there tomorrow and tell those workers to leave the site because this is just too big. That was their word. This is too big. And I remember when he said that, I almost fell out of the chair and fainted because of fear and doubt, unbelief. I was drowning in unbelief and doubt from one point to another. I remember in that moment, and I want you to hear this, and I want to take my time to say this because I believe it's going to minister to somebody. In that moment, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. Just like when Jesus got up in that boat and said, shh, hey wind, hey rain, hey wave, calm down, settle down. And the Bible says that immediately it settled down, and the disciples were amazed that even the wind and the wave and the elements obeyed him. It was like the Lord just said, shh. God said something to my heart that day. He said, Dino, make sure in this moment you do not make me small. I don't like small. I am a big God, and I am bigger than all these challenges. And if you make me small today, you will regret it the rest of your life. I remember I looked up at those bankers and said, guys, I know this is the plan, but we're not stopping the work. There's no way we're going to do that. We're going to keep building with or without you. We've got to keep moving forward. We're not stopping the project. And they said, well, I'll tell you what. They packed up their briefcase, said, you know what's going to have to happen? You're going to have to come up with $5 million in the next 9 months. $5 million. We had not come up with $5 million in the last 2 years. $5 million in the next 9 months. Packed up their briefcase and walked out. I said, well, I'll tell you this much. We will move in that building and God will supply. And do you know what? Over the next 9 months, miraculously, over $5 million over and above the tithe miraculously came into the church through the sacrifice of the people. And you know what's interesting? When we came in, I remember calling them up saying, hey, I just wanted to let you know, have you checked our accounts lately? You want some? See, why'd I tell you that? Because it's easy to doubt in the dark, in the storms, in the middle, in the delay, in the increase, what God spoke to you in the light. The middle is not the other side. There are other things on the other side of what God is going to do. Favor helped us. So much has changed for us as a church because the people have given. They went through the traffic and sacrificed finances and gave up of their time and their resources. You know, it's amazing their faith stayed high. We moved in our building. We baptized several hundred people. We said, that's the first thing we're going to do. We're going to baptize people on our dedication day. Just give people to Christ. You know, the first person we baptized was my daughter, 9 years old, who had received Christ about a year before that. I was able to baptize. The first person baptized was my precious daughter. In the first year of moving into our new facility, we had over 7,000 first-time guests in the first year. We've been able to reach people that we didn't have space to reach before with our children and reaching out to New Beginning and special needs and now hosting conferences and all different kinds of things. Our facility has extended our reach to others that were unreachable before. They were on the other side of this. They were on the other side of our groundbreaking. They were on the other side of our sacrifice. Because the reason why you build buildings is to fill them up. Fill them up with the lonely and the hurting and the lost. I want to encourage you today. I want to finish with this. And I think they're going to put this up on the screen. I want you to remember, on the other side of this groundbreaking on August the 28th at Bay Meadows awaits the opportunity to reach more people for the cause of Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. Well, I'm excited to share in that. And with this journey, there'll be sacrifice, there'll be more faith, there'll be more vision. It will require a sacrifice. But I want you to remember, there will be no regrets. The battle is worth it. The journey is worth it. I want to encourage you to never quit heavy lifting. I'm so glad the people of Healing Place kept on giving and serving and giving offerings and praying and stayed together. Why? Because God loves people so much that he will ask you and I to journey to the other side, to make changes, to make sacrifices. Why? For those that are not yet here. But they will be here. They will be here on the other side. You will meet them on the other side. And you and I get the privilege of watching that play out. Can I have a good amen? Amen. I want you to bow your heads. We're going to pray together at all of our campuses. Lord, we just love you so much. Lord, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for your Word that brings encouragement. We thank you for the privilege to sell out in God for the greatest cause that we could give our life to. I want to encourage you today, as with every head bowed and we're praying together, that just as Jesus calmed the waves and the wind on that evening, he could calm whatever storm you're facing right now. Jesus is the answer to the storms that you're facing. I just want to take a minute right now and minister to those. You say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me because I feel like I'm in the middle of something. Maybe you're walking through and you're in the middle of something and you're walking out a situation right now. Maybe you feel like you're in the middle of a defeat. Maybe you feel like you're in the middle of a bondage. Maybe you feel like you're in the middle of, you feel like your life is being drowned by negative and what others are saying. Maybe it's just sin has gotten a hold of you and it is pulling you down. Jesus is here today to calm your storm, to be Lord of your life. I want to pray for everybody. This is how I felt like really the Holy Spirit spoke something to my heart this morning about our time together. That if you're here today and you're in the middle of something and you just want to surrender it to the Lordship of our wonderful Savior who's ready to get in your boat, bring you to the other side of what you're facing. Some of you are in the middle of something right now and God wants to get you to the other side of it. All across this room, if that's you, would you just raise up your hand? If you're saying, I'm in the middle of something, I need to go the other side. The Lordship, all across, just lift it up real high. Oh, that's incredible. What boldness, what honesty. I love being in a house of honesty and humility. That is what Celebration Church is. I want you to put your hands down. I want to pray a general prayer over you, and then our pastor's going to come. Father, I pray for every person in this room. Lord, I thank you that you don't let us drown in the middle. You don't leave us in the middle of stuff, but you're willing to help us to sail on from faith to faith. So I pray for every person in this house today who raised up their hand and said, Lord, in the middle of all this, I reach out to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.